Welcome to the I Wonder Doctor podcast with David Rosensweet, MD. I Wonder Doctor integrates traditional and complementary medicine with the goal of helping you to get well, to get healthy. It is designed to be done in real life, in real time, by real people, and seeks to inspire as many aha moments as possible. Welcome to another episode of I Wonder, Doctor.
Let's talk about why digestion matters.
I guess I understand the first part of this, right? What we put in our mouth matters.
And indeed it does. But the best constructed diets in the world, using the best food in the world, are totally reliant upon digestion. And one thing we know for sure is adults do not digest like teenagers. So we're going to cover it all and assist you with every step of it. And it begins in the mouth. And think about it. You're sticking a chunk of food in a tube, a closed system that's closed all the way from the mouth, 25 feet down the line, through the anus. And you've got to break that food down so small it's able to pass through the intestinal lining into the bloodstream.
This makes sense, of course. The only way we get anything of the building blocks of life is that we break it down to the point where the body can use it.
And that's what digestion's about.
Yeah.
Now, one thing you can do right away is become a good chewer. Get it as close to liquid as you possibly can, and that way you're preparing it ideally for the stomach,
which
begins the next phase of the digestive process, and we'll cover it all for you. Let's talk about how digestion really begins in the food.
Now, this one doesn't actually make sense to me. Digestion doesn't begin in the food. Digestion begins in my mouth.
Not exactly. Let me explain. An apple falls from a tree, hits the ground, and a couple days later, it's total mush. We say it's rotted. It did not rot. It digested itself. When it hits the ground, it breaks open the cell membranes and releases digestive enzymes that actually exist within the cells and that digest the whole apple eventually.
And those enzymes are good for our digestion process.
Because chewing also breaks open the cell membranes, and when it goes into the stomach, the first part of the stomach process is a holding tank, in which the enzymes in the food, also mixed with salivary enzymes, begin the digestive process, which can go on about 10 minutes until the stomach becomes very acid, at which point those digestive enzymes are denatured.
So I've taken an apple, stuck it in my mouth, I've chewed it up. As soon as I've chewed it, I've released the digestive enzymes that are in there. It's then traveled down into my stomach, and before those stomach acids have hit it, it continues to digest itself.
Exactly.
I see.
So what this calls for is fresh whole foods. I mean, the very best that anyone could possibly do is have a garden.
Yeah.
And because also the distance between when it's picked from the plant and arrives on your table, that time matters. The enzymes are richest in the freshest foods. And then, you know, farmers markets are the very best to get food if you're not growing it yourself. Organic food does make a difference. And one of the very best things you can do is head towards fruits and vegetables that are fresh in the outer aisles of your grocery store.
So that apple, if it's made in applesauce, is not the same.
Yeah. By the time a food is processed, that disables the enzymes. Bottles, boxes, and cans, problem. Yeah, we don't want to overwhelm you because there's a wealth of knowledge and changes that you could be making to your nutrition. And we know that a successful change requires you being kind to yourself, one thing at a time, integrating it into your busy lifestyle. And if you do that, you're going to eventually succeed. It doesn't matter so much how much time it takes for most people. It's that you are committed to the changes and you're making them at a pace that doesn't stress you.
So maybe it's something like this. I finished my shopping, I've pulled my cart up to the cash register, and I'm starting to unload the items. If the bulk of the items that I'm unloading are bottles, boxes, and cans, maybe I should do another circle around, put some more veggies and fruits in there.
I wouldn't even say that. I'd say, good for you to notice it. That's step one. But if in that moment you don't criticize yourself, you just make a mental note, okay, this is where I can begin the change. The change I've already made is I started to realize that I want to make that change. Be nice to yourself. Make the change the next time around. I'd like to explain again why chewing and eating slowly can make such a difference for digestion.
Now, we've talked about chewing a lot, but you actually haven't talked about eating slowly.
Yes, but I would like to say a few more things about chewing. I'd like you to picture a rock.
Okay.
And I'd like you to picture what would happen if I pulverized that rock into powder, really. And I'd like you to picture what would happen if I dropped that rock and that powder into a glass of a strong acid, such as hydrochloric acid.
That's the acid that's in our stomachs, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And here we go. I'm dropping the rock in there, and I'm dropping the pulverized rock in there. Which one dissolves quicker?
The pulverized rock. There's more surface area.
Exactly. And you know that.
I do.
It's a physics phenomenon.
That's where I know it.
It's a surface area to solvent issue.
Yeah.
The more surface area that you expose to a solvent, the quicker something dissolves. And the same principle occurs in our stomach. So the better you chew your food into the tiniest particles you can chew it, the better the stomach acid works on digesting it.
Hmm.
And that slows the eating process down, which is a terrific thing, because it takes a while for your brain to register that you've actually eaten something. The food's got to digest. It's got to make it into your bloodstream. It's got to flow up to the brain, to the satiety centers.
So what you're saying is the sensation of being full isn't so much a physical thing inside of my stomach. It's literally full. It's a brain thing. It's a brain registering that it has the food that it needs to keep going.
Exactly. And it wants the optimal amount.
Yeah.
You got to give it time to get there.
Yeah.
So the flip side of that is that's a wonderful weight loss strategy to eat slowly and chew your food really well.
Boy, does it sound like a kind weight loss strategy, by the way. I think frequently of weight loss as this starvation process. I don't get to eat enough. I don't get to be full. I don't get to be satisfied. But really, if I slow down and eat my food, I can still feel satisfied at the end of the meal, but I've eaten the correct amount of food.
Exactly. I'd like to talk about stomach acid and look at a fundamental issue about, is there too much or is there too little?
Now, you prepped me for this one, so I know the answer. The answer is there is too little. But I was surprised by this, and I bet you most Americans are.
A misconception.
Yeah.
Let me take you back 300 years. A physician named William Beaumont found a man who had a bullet wound in his abdomen that healed in the form of a fistula. And you could actually see in this gentleman's stomach.
It was a permanent window. You could just look in there and watch
exactly.
It do what it was going to do.
And Dr. Beaumont stuck food in this gentleman's mouth and discovered that juices came to the stomach. And he did another experiment where he stressed this man and the same juices came out. Let's jump forward to 40 years ago when an esteemed colleague of mine, Dr. Jonathan Wright, had an interest in stomach acid. And he purchased a very sophisticated instrument called the Heidelberg that measures stomach acid. And to his surprise, he found so many of his patients were low in stomach acid. Very rare to see an adult with normal amount of stomach acid, let alone excessive stomach acid, almost non-existent.
Yeah.
And this makes perfect sense. Because if you're stressed and you're producing stomach acid between meals, and then you go and eat a meal and you got to produce more stomach acid, or if you overeat protein, and you're going to even have to produce more stomach acid, and you push the body like that for months, years, decades, eventually the body wears down, as we see in so many systems. You push the stress response too long, too hard, you wear down the number of hormones that you're able to produce, the number of neurotransmitters that you're able to produce. A very common thing for things to decline as we age. And there are many consequences of that. Because if you get diminished protein digestion, and diminished B12 and diminished mineral digestion, well, the hair, the skin, the nails, they're made out of protein and minerals. And you see this decline and this change as people age. And more significant than that is the bones, for example, that are constantly remodeling and turning over. They need raw materials. They don't have enough calcium. They don't have enough protein and other minerals. You get osteoporosis. You get diminished bone strength and the propensity for fractures. This is true for every cell, tissue, and organ in the body as we age. Not sufficient raw materials, the quality of the tissues is not as good, as you can see.
It makes perfect sense, of course. The only way we get basically anything into us is what goes into our mouth, and then, of course, we break down, we successfully digest.
And if we don't successfully digest, we have problems.
Yeah.
Let me give you another issue that can arise. Our intestinal tract, all 25 feet of it, has about 2 to 6 pounds of friendly bacteria that are absolutely symbiotic and necessary for our health.
Yeah.
Except they do not live in the upper small intestine or in the stomach because it's too acidic. No bacteria can live in a severe acidic environment. And the corollary is, if you don't have enough acid, you get bacterial overgrowth in the upper small intestine and in the stomach. Bacterial overgrowth, what do? You eat your food, they start eating your food and producing gas.
They start to eat your food right in your stomach.
That's right, yeah. In your upper small intestine.
Yeah.
And this can be measured because they're putting out gases themselves, and we actually measure those to detect bacterial overgrowth in the small intestine. And then some of these critters that can grow in there are quite ornery, like Helicobacter pylori, known to be associated with most ulcers of the stomach and duodenum, and also of the lower esophagus. So heartburn, esophagitis from acid burn, not too much acid, just acid getting up where it doesn't belong, as you can see in our videos on heartburn. The Helicobacter pylori can also infect that junction. This leads to problems and risks. And bacteria fermenting your food leads to symptoms of poor digestion. Not everyone has them, but a lot of people do. They're excessive burping early on and after eating their meal. There are excessive gas going out the other end. The bacteria are getting at this food, not your digestive enzymes because they're diminished. You get a sense of fullness 2 to 3 hours after you ate. What happened? Is my food digesting in my stomach? This is very common issues with people as they age. Now, there's a whole other issue. The food in the stomach calls for a certain amount of acidity. And if there's less than normal, the next phase of digestion is interfered with because it relies on that bolus of acidic food passing out of the stomach into the upper small intestine to trigger the next and very crucial phase of digestion called the pancreatic phase. And if the bolus is not acidic enough, you don't get the robust pancreatic response of neutralizing sodium bicarbonate to get rid of that acid. And the pancreatic enzymes, which are so crucial to the rest of digestion. So further diminishing of digestion.
So it's something like this. I eat a bite of food. It goes into my stomach. My stomach produces a bunch of acid, hopefully. Then it passes on. And because the pancreas registers that much acid, it does its job right. But if it doesn't register enough acid, it doesn't trigger like it should.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Result, diminished digestion again.
Yeah.
And you know, here's an interesting thing. You get increased appetite from that. Because if you're not digesting sufficient protein and minerals, your body knows that. And so it wants to send you out with increased appetite to graze through more food so you can extract the proper amount of calcium and amino acids, etc. And what does that lead to? Overweight. You're getting the calories, excessive calories, but you're not getting the essentials in sufficient quantity. A weight loss strategy includes improving digestion, and then this is what all this comes down to.
Yeah.
Most adults, and certainly adults who want to have optimal health and heal, need to address their digestion. And there's three ways to do that as the cornerstone of improving digestion. One of them, like I mentioned, is to chew that food and eat slowly.
Yeah.
And the other one is to supplement digestive enzymes and hydrochloric acid. Now, there's a lot of heartburn out there, so it's a technical issue on how to do that hydrochloric acid and when to take it. And in future videos, we're going to specify, here's how you do it. We're going to lay it down for you. Most Americans have diminished hydrochloric acid and digestive enzymes, and I want to address what we can do about it.
And this one is something we've been covering a lot, and it was a surprise to me, and I bet you it is to most people. And that's that not only we're not producing too much acid, which I think is what we all believe, we're producing too little acid, and that has some consequences.
It does. And I've mentioned these, and one of the major ones is all of a sudden the stomach is no longer sterile, or the upper small intestine. Bacteria can grow there that would never have a chance to grow in a significantly acidic environment.
Yeah.
So some people have to do the technical steps of getting the infections diagnosed and treated by medical experts who know how to do that.
Got it. If someone has gone long enough with diminished stomach acids, they may have grown some things in there that have to be dealt with, and they have to be dealt with a doctor.
They do. And they're liable to have symptoms of pain or heartburn or stomach ache frequently enough. That's one of the clues that they could have, for example, a gastritis or esophagitis or even ulcers.
Yeah. And even if it's mild, these might not be ones to ignore.
Yeah. If you got the infection, you want to address it.
Yeah.
And then some simple to understand and a little challenging to implement is don't overeat. If you throw too much food into that stomach, especially ones that the meal is too protein laden, it's going to call forth a Niagara Falls of hydrochloric acid production. You keep doing that over and over again. It's how you wear your system down. The remedy is small meals. Give your stomach something that it can actually handle easily. And spread them out throughout the day. For many people, I'm not suggesting reduce the number of calories you have in a 24-hour period. I'm just saying space them different into small meals and snacks. You graze throughout a day.
So by overeat, you're not necessarily speaking about all the calories we take in within a day. You're talking about those big piles of it. One large meal where all that food hits at once. Break that up into smaller meals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One of the major drives of overeating turns out to be eating too fast. You digest your food, you get it into the small intestine, it's small enough to go into the bloodstream, that goes up to the brain, and finally, after time, the brain registered, oh, we've got enough, we've eaten enough. Those who gobble their meals, the brain hasn't had time to realize that you've eaten enough, so you're still going to be hungry. And it's one of the major drives of overeating. So the remedy, challenging. Eat slowly. Chew your food. Enjoy the company.
This one was a surprise to me. I sort of thought that I registered full in my stomach. My stomach was literally full of food, and then I was full. But you taught me here that actually the sensation of full is in my brain. So thus, it can be tricked. But if I slow down, it gets it right.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And this is a weight loss strategy. You don't want to have too much hunger.
Right.
Eat slower. And then the elephant in the medical room is the biology of the stress response. Because as I've spoken about earlier, you get stressed, you're going to produce stomach hydrochloric acid whether you've eaten a meal or not. And we want to take that strain out of the system. And that can be accomplished if you acquire information and tool to address the stresses of life in your emotions and in your mind. And if you do so, you'll be successful and you won't have to spill over and trigger the biology of the stress response, which again calls for increased hydrochloric acid and hormones, even if you don't even need them at the time.
We're going to face stress in our lives. That's sort of a given.
Yeah.
But one way that we face it produces stomach acids, and another way that we face the very same situation doesn't. And we need to learn the difference of what we do so we don't trigger that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then for those of us who want to have optimal health, or have illnesses to heal, or diagnoses to heal, or generalized symptoms of fatigue and the changes commonly known as aging, you know, most everybody, get used to it, folks. We're going to probably need to supplement hydrochloric acid digestive enzymes with each meal. And that's a technical process. We're going to teach you how to do it in future videos. But hey, embrace it. You want to feel good, you got to improve your digestion. That's for sure.
So we've just covered a lot of material. And let me see if I can recap this. We started with saying that most of us grown-ups have too little stomach acid, and that has consequences. We've got to do something about that. The things that we can do is, let's see if I can get them all. We can chew. Remember to chew our food enough. That helps it digest. We can slow down. We can enjoy our meals. That helps us not eat too much. We can spread that food out. Rather than eat big old meals that hit the stomach in one fell swoop, eat smaller meals throughout the day. We can handle stress differently. Life's going to be stressful, but how we handle that stress either does or does not produce stomach acids, and the second one's the better answer. And then, if we're grown-ups, we need to do some supplementation, and you mentioned digestive enzymes. Those things will help us digest better.
Exactly. Complex to learn, but easy to implement once you get it.
Yeah.
And then there's the technical issues that require medical attention. If you've got infections, they need to be diagnosed and treated.
Yeah.
A very big thanks to all the people it takes to produce these. And thanks to you for listening. Be sure to head on over to iwonderdoctor.com for all the rest that we have to offer.